Well, you can be turning to, you can turn to 1 Samuel chapter 7. That's where I will plan to speak from. But I want to direct your attention, first of all, to a verse in Psalm 71. Psalm 71 and verse 18. February 1st of 2015, I spoke to you here on, gave my testimony, and it was kind of a review of my life. I don't plan to do the same thing today, as I weary you with things that you're already aware of. But this, verse 18 of the 71st Psalm. Now also am I old and gray-headed. O God, forsake me not, until I have showed thy strength unto this generation, and thy power to everyone that is to come. That has been a prayer of mine for the last few years, as I've grown older, that the Lord would give me strength, that I might be blessed by His Spirit, to show forth His power to you and to the generation that comes after us. Of course, you're all aware that this past week I celebrated my 79th birthday. I appreciate, well, we even had a birthday cake at our Bible study on Wednesday night, which I thank you for doing that. And thank you for all the cards and emails and phone calls that I've received. I appreciate all those things very much. I'm not so vain that I want to try and hide my age, because if I tried, it would be deceitful on my part. It comes out. But I'm thankful for the years that God has blessed me with. And I want to direct your attention then to the verse of Scripture that's on my mind from the 7th chapter of 1 Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 7. The fact of the matter is, I want to read this whole chapter to us. Give you the background of the chapter. The background of the chapter is Samuel, who you are familiar with this story, how that his mother took him up to the temple and left him there with the priest. While he was there, God called unto him three times, and the third time, Eli told him, whatever God tells you, you say, speak for. And the message that God gave to Samuel to tell Eli was that the nation of Israel had sinned greatly, and that Eli's family also had sinned, and that they were experiencing the judgment of the Lord. Well, in chapter 5 and 6, you have that record of God's judgment against Israel. They went out to war against the Philistines. In the fourth chapter, as they went out to war against the Philistines, God gave the Philistines victory over the Israelites. And in the ensuing battles, 34,000 Israelites were killed. 34,000 people were killed. Not only did it happen that 34,000, but in that number were two of Eli's sons, Phinehas and Hophnia, the two sons of Eli that were wicked, living wicked lives as priests. And when the news was brought to Eli, he was sitting upon a wagon and he fell off backwards, broke his neck, and died. The Israelites thought that they could go through the formality of moving, taking God with them. And so they had taken the Ark of the Covenant, without any direction from the Lord, they had taken it out to the battlefield. They thought there was some magical power in the Ark of the Covenant itself. There was no magical power in the Ark of the Covenant. It was simply what it represented. And what was a display and reminder to Israel of God's presence with them. So when they moved it without God's direction, the end result of it was the Philistines captured it. And you, it's interesting reading. We'll read through the 5th, 6th chapters. You'll find out how the consequences of what happened to the Philistines as a result of the Ark of the Covenant being there with them. And so they decided that this thing's a bad omen to us. God is angry with us because of this. And so they decided to take it back to the, send it back to the Israelites. Of course, they didn't want to be too rash in doing that and go to any extreme. And so what they did, they put it in an ark, in a wagon, and put 2 cows to pull it, and left these cows had calves back in their stall, and they left the calves back in the land of the Philistines in the stall, and sent the wagon, the cows pulling it, away from them. Now, if you know anything about cows and calves, cows are not going to leave their calves. But God sovereignly ruled over even the cows, and they took the calves, and they took the Ark of the Covenant back toward the land of Israel. In doing that, they brought it to a city of Kirjath-Jearim, which means woods. It ended up being there for 20 years. And Israel was greatly disturbed and burdened over the fact of their sins. And so you'll find here in the 7th chapter, they begin to ask Samuel to pray for them. Chapter 7, verse 1. And the men of Kirjath-Jearim came and fetched up the ark of the Lord, and brought it into the house of Abinadab in the hill, and sanctified Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. It came to pass, while the ark abode in Kirjath-Jearim, that the time was long, for it was 20 years, and all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. And Samuel spoke unto all the house of Israel, saying, if you do return unto the Lord with all your hearts, and then put away the strange gods and Ashtoreth from among you, and prepare your hearts unto the Lord, and serve him only, he will deliver you out of the hand of the Philistines. Well, that's the kind of God we serve, that when his people turn from their sins, he hears their cries and their prayers, and he delivers them. Verse 4. Then the children of Israel did put away Balaam and Ashtoreth and served the Lord only. And Samuel said, gather all Israel into Mizpeh, and I will pray for you unto the Lord. And they gathered together unto Mizpeh and drew water and poured it out before the Lord and fasted on that day and said there, we have sinned against the Lord. That's always the beginning of enjoying God's blessings, the confession of sin. We have sinned against the Lord. And Samuel judged the children of Israel in Mizpeh. And when the Philistines heard that the children of Israel were gathered together to Mizpeh, the lords of the Philistines went up against Israel. And when the children of Israel heard it, they were afraid of the Philistines. And the children of Israel said to Samuel, cease not to pray unto the Lord our God for us, that he will save us out of the hand of the Philistines. And Samuel took a sucking lamb and offered it for a burnt offering wholly unto the Lord. And Samuel cried unto the Lord for Israel, and the Lord heard him. Isn't that precious? You know, it's good to have someone praying for us. More important is that someone prays for us, that God hears them when they're praying for us. We have, as I mentioned last week, a great high priest, Jesus Christ, who prays for us, and he is always heard as our great high priest. And as Samuel was offering up the burnt offering, the Philistines drew near to battle against Israel. But the Lord, that's a good injection here, but the Lord thundered with a great thunder on that day upon the Philistines, and discomfited them, and they were smitten before Israel. And the men of Israel went out to Mizpeh, and pursued the Philistines, and smote them, until they came to Bethcar. Then Samuel took a stone and set it up between Mizpeh and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hither hath the Lord helped us. So the Philistines were subdued, and they came no more to the coast of Israel, and the hand of the Lord was against the Philistines all the days of Samuel. And the cities which the Philistines had taken from Israel were restored to Israel, from Ekron even to Gath, and the coast thereof did Israel deliver out of the hands of the Philistines, and there was peace between Israel and the Amorites. And Samuel judged Israel all the days of his life, and he went from year to year in circuit to Bethel, to Gilgath, to Mizpeh, and judged Israel in all those places. And his return was to Ramah, for there was his house. And there he judged Israel, and there he built an altar unto the Lord. So, we have here in verse 12, my text, Then Samuel took a stone and set it between Mizpeh and Shin, and called the name of it Ebenezer, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Now, Mizpeh was the very place where the Philistines had defeated them some 25 years or more than 20 years previous to that. That's where the great battle had taken place, and Israel had lost in the whole discourse you'll read in these chapters 4, 5, and 6, some total of 84,000 Israelites were killed by the Philistines. And so the very place where they had been defeated by the Philistines, now they come back to meet the Philistines again, this time with God's blessings. And Samuel then puts up a stone between two cities, Mizpeh and Shin. It's called somewhat in the Hebrew as though it were in the gap. It may have been like in a valley. But he sets up a pillar, a stone. You've probably been to battlefields and different places, and you've seen some monument. Such and such a battle took place here, and such and such events happened here. Well, that's what he's doing. And he gives it the name Ebenezer. What does it mean? Well, we have a song that we sing. It's called Come Thou Fount. Here I raise mine Ebenezer. And in that song, we sing the words or the definition of this word, what it means. Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. Well, that's what I want to talk to us about this morning. Kind of just to remind us of what God has done for us as a church. I could talk to you about what God has done for me personally, but I'd rather talk to us about what God has done for us as a church, because I'm part of it. And I just want to bring some things to your mind, remembrance. I said I spoke to you on February the 1st, 2015. February the 1st, 2015. That year was a very eventful year in the life of our church. In November of that year, both Sister Beth and Sister Dawn went to be with the Lord. And we experienced a great sorrow and grief among us all. It was as though I have told someone, it was like a double whammy, getting two hard blows to your stomach. It hurt all of us, while we rejoice in the fact that They went to be with the Lord, yet it was grievous, and we still miss them and think of them. Our church was somewhat taken back. I felt it. We all were. We were somewhat dazed. Where do we go from here? Well, June of the following year, 2016, my mother passed away. So by that time, both my parents were dead, and I'd lost two daughters also. September of 2016, miraculously, really, we sold our church building in Aberdeen. We got it for much more in value and money than what I thought we would ever get it. I didn't really tell you what my thoughts were, but I had been advised by some realtors that doubtful that we would ever get as much as $50,000 for the property, although it's valued at much more than that, more than $100,000. We had several offers whereby they wanted us to finance the building, and we knew that we couldn't do that because if we were going to relocate, we would need the money itself to help relocate. And so we turned down several offers, and we prayed, and we felt if it was the Lord's will for us to relocate, He would guide us. He would show us that. Well, in September 2016, we sold the property there in Aberdeen. Where were we going to relocate? Nobody had any mind. I had no place picked out. We all somewhat looked around in various places. I drove all the way across Lowndes County. I literally drove across Lowndes County. Various from the east side to the west side here. North and south. We were just praying, Lord, wherever you want us to be, you lead us there. You know that for a while we met in a local hotel, and then the Lord opened up a place for us to meet at a college that was close by to where we are right now. Amazingly. We met there for a while, and they were very cordial to us. We paid a very small amount of rent to be there, but we were there in that college. February of 2017, I drove by this property. I looked at it several times. There was no for sale signs on it. It was an abandoned service station. You all know what it looked like. I drove by here that day just by divine providence. And there was a realtor sign out front. Of course, you know what happened. We contacted the realtor and immediately was able to purchase it the very next day, put down a deposit on it. And the next few weeks, the property became ours, paid for. An amazing price, $27,000 for this property where our church now sits. Brother Rogers started work on it, I think, by the next day. Clearing out. A lot of work to be done for clearing out the property. March 2018, my only sister passed away, went to be with the Lord. One of the blessed things that happened to us was the Lord's blessing to us to add Sister Lisa to us. Her brother Stacy were joined in marriage. Before they were married, she came to confess the Lord as her Savior, and of course, you know, we baptized her. We believe in doing that. People come to know the Lord, we baptize them. So we were, March 2017, we were able to enjoy her being added to our congregation. December of this past year, the 30th, I believe it was, we held our dedication meeting. The Lord blessed. I felt like we had a good spiritual meeting. And it's a very significant day that we dedicated this property, this building, to the Lord. And ourselves also, I hope. A very sad thing happened to me in January. A very long-time friend, John Rule, passed away, and I conducted his funeral. John, of course, is with the Lord. And so I set up an Ebenezer. Through all these things, events that happened, some of them sad, some of them joyful, I set up an Ebenezer here to you today for us all. Hitherto hath the Lord led us. It cannot be denied. Brother Roger just shared with me a few minutes ago that he has successfully added up the total cost of our investment here in this property. Now get ready. It's a figure that you never would have dreamed of. $133,000. Where in the world did the money come from? God did it. God did it. A little small congregation like we've got here, and yet God blessed us that we now have this building debt-free, this property debt-free. And we sit here today in a comfortable building that is delightful to be in. $133,000. Where? How in the world? Except for the Lord. Ebenezer, don't forget it. Don't forget it. Put up a monument. Put it in your mind. Thus far hath the Lord led us. One of the men at our dedication services, I don't remember exactly which one it was, made some comment like this. And I took it as being a message from the Lord. He said, I look at this building and what you have here, what God's done for you, and see God's blessings upon you. He said, I just have to believe that God has even more blessings for you in the future. And so, hitherto hath the Lord led us. When you erect that monument, you remind yourself what God has done for you in the past. But you are also anticipating the Lord doing things for you in the future. Hitherto hath God led us. We have not arrived there yet, but we have come thus far by the help of the Lord. Amazingly. Through the dark days, through the struggles, we are here by the hand of the Lord. You cannot deny it. There is absolutely no explanation for it except God hath planted us and put us here in this community, in this building, as a witness of His mercy and His grace upon us. We all had a great affection, of course, for the sisters, Beth and Don. We had a great sorrow to lose both of them. We also had a lot of fond memories of the building. The Lord had blessed us and uniquely given to us in Aberdeen. I drive by there now quite frequently. And I think about God's blessings and the memories, the good things that we enjoyed, times we enjoyed there. But I have no grief in my... There's not an attachment to that building there as there was in days past. Because God has moved us on and brought us here. Here's where He's placed us as a church. I believe it was for the month of March or in the month of March, Dr. Spurgeon or Charles Spurgeon had a morning devotion on hitherto. And he said it's like looking down a road in both directions. You turn in one way and you look to the past, and then you turn the other way and you look to the future. Hitherto, you're halfway. You're not to the end of the journey. You're not to the end of the road. But you've come thus far, hitherto. And as God had been with you and brought you providentially and brought you through the things of the past, so He also will direct you towards the future. And that is what we should be mindful of today. I think about it quite often because chapter 90 of Psalms, God sets forth the normal years of a man. Normal expectancy of life expectancy, according to what you read in Psalms chapter 90, is that we would be 70 years of age. But if by strength the Lord would advance you to 80 years of age. Well, I'm fastly approaching the 80th mark. And I do so not with no apprehension. I do so with great anticipation of going to be with the Lord. Of course, I hope to be able to finish whatever course God has laid out for me to finish. I hope to have the strength, as I read to you there from Psalms 71. I hope to be blessed with the strength to show forth to this generation what God has done and what He will do for us. But if, in verse 10 of the 9th chapter Psalms, the days of our years are 70, and if by reason of strength they be 80, that's 80 years, yet is their strength, labor, and sorrow, for it's soon cut off, we fly away. It is my burden, desire, to be able to strengthen, encourage you, to reaffirm, help you to reaffirm for the things that this church was established upon, the truths that we believe God's Word teaches, that we might indeed be settled on these things. And it's important and vital that we all become and be settled. Because there are many winds blowing against the truths that we hold dear to. There are many adversaries that we have that would try to persuade us to go in a different direction. One of the colleges that I used to attend, seminary where I went, was at that time, back in the 60s, was a very conservative seminary. One of the strong conservative seminaries of that time period in America. While at the funeral for Brother John Rule, we were discussing some things, and I was informed that that college itself now has become a very liberal college, even an Armenian college, and very charismatic. But not only that college, but many of the other colleges that it one time associated with. And that's the course that the world is going. That's the way that churches are going in America. That's the way, indeed, sad to say, that some primitive Baptist churches are going, moving the way that the world's winds are blowing. And every truth, every principle that is set forth in God's Word is coming under attack in our country. You thought you'd never see the day in which homosexuality, same-sex marriage, would be condoned. Well, it's not only condoned anymore, but it is promoted. Our governments are promoting it in a school, and our children being taught that that is an acceptable and that's a normal lifestyle. Anything that ever God says was an abomination, it is homosexuality, sodomy. The great city of Sodom was destroyed because of this terrible sin. There could be other cities added to the name of it. Pompeii, on through the history of time, that God destroyed cities. There's some cities here in America that I believe that God is simply holding back His wrath and judgment against them because of their flaunting of the laws of God concerning morality. If I were to mention a few of them, you would say, well, there's others. Should he be added to that list? But not only immorality of homosexuality, but the laws of attacking sanctity of life, taking a baby from its womb, kill it. You think that that is other people? Out of you. Just beginning of you saying, you sitting here today are going to be confronted with the philosophy that they're going to want to put you away, kill you, deny you medical care simply because you've gotten so old that you're not beneficial to the government. That's the philosophy of socialism. You cannot contribute to the economy of the socialistic government, then you will be put away. We, as God's people, are being confronted and will be confronted with issues that we never thought we'd have to deal with. This church, you, individual, person, your life, that you never thought you'd be confronted. And you're going to be made to wonder, where in the world is God? What is going to happen? Sit down on Ebenezer. God Almighty has not changed. I love that verse in Malachi 3:6. I am the Lord. I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. There are some monuments that we need to put down. There are some verses of Scripture that we might must need to hide in our hearts that we might remind ourselves what God has promised His people. Let me just give you some verses of Scripture. Psalms 37 and verse 39. We'll read these, look at these together today. Psalms 37 and verse 39, I read to you. But the salvation of the righteous is of the Lord. He is our strength in the time of trouble. Psalms chapter 50 and verse 15. Psalms 50 and verse 15, I read to you. Call upon me in the day of trouble. This is the Lord speaking. Call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. That's God's promise to all of us, individually and collectively. It's not changed. It still remains the same. Put that down as an Ebenezer. You're going to need it sometime. Psalms 50, verse 15. Psalm 68 and verse 35. O God, thou art terrible out of thy holy places. The God of Israel is he that giveth strength and power unto his people. Blessed be God. Psalm 68 and verse 35. Psalm 73 and verse 28. Let me read this verse to you. Psalm 73 and verse 28. It is good for me to draw near to God. I will put my trust in the Lord that I may declare all of his works. That's what we want to do. That's what God has established us here for. That's the reason why we need to have an Ebenezer, is to remind ourselves what God has done for us. It's good for me to draw near to the Lord. I will put my trust in the Lord God, that I may declare all of his works. Psalm 73 and verse 28. Look at Psalms 106 and verse 48. I know that there are many more. These are just some that I've marked out in my Bible, have them highlighted. Psalms 106 and verse 48. 106 and verse 48. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, from everlasting to everlasting, and let all the people say, Amen. Praise ye the Lord. That's a good thing to do. Say Amen and praise the Lord. Seems like we've gotten too quiet in our churches anymore. There was a time when I was a few years younger, We used to go to church, and it was not unusual to hear the men to say, "Amen, amen, praise the Lord, that's good." We ought to all be saying in our hearts, "Amen, praise ye the Lord." Psalms 111 and verse 4. 111 and verse 4. "He hath made his wonderful works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion." Isn't that a good verse? You need to know that. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion. How much we came to enjoy that, enjoy the blessing of that when we came to know the Lord first in conversion to our salvation. We came to Him as a sinner, wretched, lost, and needing the Lord as the Savior. And we found Him to be a God who was a God of mercy and of grace, and He was full of compassion. Well, He hasn't changed. He's still the same today. You have problems in your life? Go to the Lord. My wife and I were walking through Walmart yesterday, and I just said to my wife, I said, "You know, when I come here to these places, and I'm not any better than any of them, I said, my heart is moved in compassion to these people. They're poor people for the most part. And they go to buy stuff, and they have to deal with the shortage of money. We all have to deal with that. We have to live on a low income." You know, I see these people talking about living on a fixed income. Well, mine's fixed. It's always less than what I need, I think. But the Lord has been good. Whatever your problems are, I tell you, we know from experience, do we not, that the Lord is gracious and full of compassion to His people. Put an Ebenezer there. Establish it. Be mindful of it. Because dark days are going to come in the future, and you're going to be needful to remind yourself that the Lord of God Almighty, He does not change. He's still gracious. He's still full of compassion. Psalms 143. I've reminded you and asked you to try to memorize that verse 8. But not only verse 8. Look at verse 10. Psalms 143 and verse 10. "Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness." What do you want out of life? What do you want? Has not God been good to us? Has not God been good to you personally? Everybody raise your right hand up. Now put your left hand up. Look at there. You're coordinated. You can move at your own will. Why, amazingly, you know. I know people who can't do that. There was a time I couldn't do that. Why, you can pick up your legs. You can move. You can see. You can eat. You can think. You can go do what you want to do almost. Why? Because the Lord has been good to you. Oh, we get thinking sometimes, you know. I hate to tell things on myself, but I remember as a boy, I had a dad that was a good father. He insisted that I do things, and sometimes he made me do things that I didn't want to do. I wanted to go play ball, go swimming. He'd give me jobs to do and chores to do, and I had to do that first. And I thought, oh, my dad doesn't like me. He hates me. He's not a good father. And there's been other times that I've thought, oh, the world is, I don't know what I'm going to do. Problems. I don't want to mention them all, but I can just tell you that at times, you know, I thought, oh, I don't know what direction to go, what to do. And then the Lord open doors for me. I remember a very dark day time in my life. I was on the island of St. John's, I had resigned from the church there at Southside Baptist. I had in my mind and thought, and the Lord would have me to go to the Caribbean, and so I was down there looking over where we might go, and we had written to the city or the government of Trinidad. That's where I wanted to go. Impressed to go there. And we'd sold our house. We were working towards moving towards the Caribbean, committed to do that. And we were planning to go to the island of Trinidad. I knew some preachers there. I wanted to work with them. I was down on the island of St. John's for a Bible conference about New Year's time. And I got word from Ruth that we had received from the government of Trinidad a rejection for our visa, and they wouldn't allow us to come. Of course, this was about the time of the issue there that happened in Guyana with those people that took all that Kool-Aid, you know what I'm talking about. So there was a great apprehension against American missionaries coming anywhere in the Caribbean. Late that night, I walked down to the ocean's edge there, the harbor, St. John's. And I walked out on the dock. I looked across the waters of the ocean. I said, Lord, where do you want me to go? What am I going to do? I've resigned from the church. I've sold our house and lands. And now we've got a closed door in front of us. What are we going to do, Lord? It was a dark night in my heart. I was sharing my thoughts then the next day with the preacher, brother, that we came to know and love the Lord. And he said, I'm over on the island of Tortola. Won't you come over there and help us? And that's where we went. We enjoyed a year of serving there with the people on the island of Tortola. Teach me to do thy will, O God. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God, and thy spirit is good. Lead me in the land of uprightness. You wouldn't be here, I wouldn't be here, were it not that God had led us. And he's been good. Now, where are we going to go from here? I'm not talking about relocating, but what's the future for us? Well, it's whatever God has ordained for us. And he will lead us. He will teach us. He will bless us. And he will protect us. And not that we do these things to merit anything from him, but what he then desires of us is that we love him and serve him. Love him and serve him. If you love me, you keep my commandments. Very simple, isn't it? And may God help us that we would establish our Ebenezers in our lives. And that we would remember what God has done for us in days past. Say the same God is with us for the future. Hitherto hath the Lord brought us. We're here by God's grace and God's mercy. Our Father,